0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge towards the second round of post-split fixtures. Reports suggest it would cost Celtic £5 million to sign Adam Ida in the summer. Speculation continues to mount about the future of some of Rangers' first team players like Barisic and Lundstrom, and Stuart Kettlewell says he might need to coach players differently to avoid certain VAR and refereeing decisions. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, I think the big talking points tonight will be the fixtures that are just around the corner, not only for Celtic and Rangers, but when you look at, you know, St Mirren against Dundee for that European place, real defining fixture. St Johnstone at Aberdeen this week, could that put them in real trouble? Ross County Hibs, so many good fixtures that so much hangs upon. Looking forward to it. This is what the post-split serves up, the way it should be, drama in every fixture.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. It's just an exciting end of the season, Gordon. We've got four terrific games to look forward to. Then we've got the cup final as well. A lot of important games, not just at the top, but at the bottom. St Johnstone, it's a big, big weekend for them to try and get 3 points. You know, there's news going about that maybe new owners coming in there as well. So I just look at those fixtures, everyone important and everyone a good fixture, and look forward to it.
Thursday night, the sun is shining. You've got Mark Wilson and Gordon DL for company. What more could you want? 0141 951 1025. Get in touch, let us know what's on your mind. It is Thursday, as Mark quite rightly pointed out. You're entitled, I think, to be thinking already about the weekend's fixture. So if you want to do that, we are here on that usual number. In terms of today's news, if you like, or some of the stories doing the round, Celtic fans, the price for Adam Ida is apparently £5 million. So that seems like a very clear and simple debate for us to have tonight. £5 million for Adam Ida. Are you spending that or are you not? What do you think? Based on what you've seen so far, £5 million. If that was to be the price in the summer, would you sign the cheque or would you spend your money elsewhere? 0141 951 1025. Let us know. I think that's a good one to get stuck into. Rangers fans, I noticed on Twitter there that Sam Lammers, the much maligned, is the player of the month in the Eredivisie. Is any of you changing your mind? Is he worth another look? This kind of came up sporadically, randomly on the show a couple of nights ago, but now that he has been named as player of the month in the Eredivisie, is it time to take him back in the summer, have a look and reassess, or is it just cut your losses, cut the cord and move on? Again, let us know. 0141 951 1025. We have these peaks and troughs with VAR, don't we? Sometimes it goes away for a few days, but we had the independent review yesterday, which brought about 10 apparent mistakes. So Stuart Kettlewell's been speaking today, Derek McInnes, maybe you've got thoughts on that as well on 0141 951 1025. And anything else at all, if you're out there thinking, why have you not mentioned that story, or why have you not mentioned that, there's every chance I've missed it. So give us a call if there's anything else you want to discuss, on the usual number or on Twitter. Looking forward to this weekend though. Should be good, shouldn't it?
Yeah, a lot of good games. A lot of exciting games, you know. Both teams, Celtic and Rangers, fighting for a league at home. And you would look at two fixtures that people would put down as difficult fixtures. Hearts going to finish third. Kilmarnock under Derek McInnes knows how to get a big scalp. So they will certainly be difficult fixtures for both. But I've said it and I'm sticking by it. They'll win their fixtures up until next week, and then it's winner take all Celtic Rangers.
The exciting thing about the fixtures and how they fell is they're so comparable. So last week, you know, Celtic away to Dundee, Rangers away to St Mirren. You obviously look at that, two away games against two sides, pretty similar in the league, you know, just separated by a couple of points, going for the European place. So everything to play for. Then you look at Hearts and Killy. Look, obviously Hearts are probably home and hoes for third place, but still they're a good side with a lot to prove. I think their players have got a lot to prove if they'll still be at the club next year, with Stephen Naismith making moves already to bolster his squad, so it'll be difficult for Celtic. And of course Kilmarnock with Derek McInnes and the running for manager of the year, that's going to be a tough fixture. That all is before they meet the following week. So the way these fixtures have fell has made this, you know, fascinating, these first 3 weeks into the post-split. And similarly for the bottom as well, because sometimes, you know, everything's just done. Maybe Livy are away. But for Ross County and St Johnstone, absolute massive this weekend.
Yeah, don't forget, you can get in touch 01419511025. I read the number very many times throughout the show just so that you don't forget it. So get in touch early, get those calls in, let us know what you're thinking. If you fancy watching the live stream, maybe this is a new concept to you, you weren't aware, we are now on YouTube, as we have been all season. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can see that on Twitter and Facebook as well. And incidentally, if you tune in tonight, I know the sun's been shining. You've been out in the sun. You're looking bronzed.
Yeah, I've been going about and obviously walking about the town and getting a bit of sun on the face.
Because the hair's whiter, the face is darker. Whiter. So what's been?
Nothing.
I mean, it's only been like 13 degrees.
No, it was 18, my car.
I think that's a wee package he's got, Gordon. Wee special Sunday package.
You're already preparing for the Euros.
Look, I'm not one to lie. I had a wee sunbed yesterday just to bring the glow.
Come on.
The glow out.
Tell them the story that you nearly got duped into buying.
Oh, I can't believe this. And I want people to answer me, because if they swear by it.
I don't mean to be ageist, but a man of your vintage.
Look, you cannot turn up on the beach with the body white, right? You've got to have a bit of colour, because the first night you're going to burn. And your holiday's ruined, right? So I'm standing there. You know what, like, I'm at? It takes a while for me to decide what I'm doing and ask a million questions.
Well, like 9 minutes or 12 minutes.
And I couldn't believe it. A guy come in and he got 8 minutes, a cream, and I'll have a shot. And I thought, oh, this is a good place. No. I'm going to have a wee half here. But I'm driving.
He thought it was alcohol.
He's selling shots, £2.50. Unfortunately, I've got the car round the back, but I could come back later on. And she's like, no, that's for, apparently you drink it and it brings it.
Does your vanity know no bounds? Seriously.
He was telling me this in the gym, right? But he was projecting quite a lot in the gym, saying, can you believe there's a drink out there that brings the sun out in you? So I think he's wanting the public opinion. Is this real? Does it work?
62 years of age, frequenting the local sunbed.
A shot of sun cream.
Anyway,
I'm looking good for it, look.
01419511025. That's the number you need. Andy is a Celtic fan. £5 million, Andy. Are you paying that for Adam Ida or not?
I think it's a no-brainer. I think you pay it for him. He's a young guy. There's a lot of developing to be done in Adam Ida. Where Celtic have to be clever is they don't want to install one of these crazy sell-on clauses where they're getting all the money away at the back end, where they've actually made that Adam Ida the player that he will be. I think he showed enough potential that he could be an integral part of Celtic going forward.
We've been debating this for the last couple of weeks, on and off, and kind of speculating about the price. Fairly reliable suggestions, £5 million. If that was to be the price, are you doing that? Andy says no-brainer.
I don't think it's a no-brainer, but I think he's done well enough to earn himself another shot at Celtic. £5 million, I think if I was in Celtic's shoes, I'd try and get that down a bit, or I'd try and incentivise it that you pay maybe £3 million up front, and then, you know, so many appearances or so many goals or whatever, then it adds up to £5 million over a period of time.
He's just confusing this now. I was just hoping people would say yes or no.
It's £5 million.
Okay, you're not negotiating £5 million or not.
Honestly.
Norwich have now said, Mark, we're not doing that deal. It's £5 million or nothing.
It's just hypothetical.
£5 million for a striker in this country, even at Celtic and Rangers, you're looking for them to be the number one striker. I think when Keogh goes about, he's never going to be the number one striker. So if that's the case, then no. But I do believe they need somebody to push Keogh. And he's came here and he's scored goals and he's proved he can handle the demands in a short space of time. So it puts him in a good place. I put some ahead of others that you're wanting to bring in. But £5 million, who else could you get? Could you get Miofsky for £5 million? Probably, and I'd take Miofsky before him.
What do you make of that argument, Andy, about the kind of number one, number two striker thing?
I personally don't think Kyogo will be at Celtic next year anyway. And I get the argument about Miofsky. And the one thing about Miofsky you have to say is that Miofsky's... the one thing that impressed me, I watched Miofsky against England and I thought he was brilliant. So that tells you that he can move up a level. However, when you talk about bringing a striker in for £5 million, you're really not getting a great deal now for £5 million. I know it was different all the years ago when you were playing, Mark, but right now it's I don't think it's a lot of money for to pay for the potential. If you look at what we paid for Austin Edward, I think we paid £6 or £7 million for Edward.
Nine.
And I think he had only had, or was it £9 million for Austin Edward? And don't get me wrong, Austin Edward was a very, very good striker, but Celtic really cultivated that striker. He wasn't that when we bought him.
And Dembele was there at that point. Bit different. I'm not saying this exactly the same scenario, but Dembele was there as the number one striker. Edward bought for nine, just to sort of come back at your Kyogo point.
Look, Celtic have always made the case that they are cash rich at the minute. So £5 million, I totally agree with Andy that it's not a lot in the bigger picture of things. I mean, going back to your John Hartsons and Chris Suttons and things like that, bought for £6 million, and that, wow, that's some amount. Well, Andy's right, not anymore. But I'm just going with previous, what Celtic have done in their model and how they sign these players. Edwards probably the outlier within that £9 million was splashed on him. When you look at the other strikers, I don't think there's been anywhere near that amount splashed on anybody.
And the obvious question, Andy, if we're going to make the comparison, how does Adam Ida compare as a player, ability-wise, to Hudson Edward?
I don't think that's a fair comparison at the minute. But when Hudson Edward came in, he showed glimpses of what he could be, and I think at times he does show you wee glimpses. The way that he came on in the Old Firm game and took his goal very, very, very well. So that's telling you one thing. He's probably got the temperament to come and do it at that, in the big games. Which is, let's be honest, that's where these strikers are judged. They're no judged against Falkirk or any of these other teams. So that's where they're judged. And he's basically showed when he's came on against Rangers that he has the temperament to do it. The two penalties he's taken against Hibs, taking a lot of ball for a young guy just into the club to do that. And I think the one thing that's important when you're spending that kind of money is you want someone who wants to be at the club. And I think he clearly does.
I like him. I think that he's been a good signing. I said from day one after seeing him that I thought that he would score goals. He gives Celtic a different dimension of that, there's no doubt. £5 million, and you mentioned a name there, Majovski for Aberdeen. I would probably go up to Aberdeen and offer the £5 million for him. I think he would do fine with Celtic. I think he would still score goals. I think he still gave them a different option. But I would, if I had the £5 million of the choice between the two, I'd be taking Majovski all day long.
I just wonder if Aberdeen just won't sell Majovski to a Scottish club. You've seen that before, because they will have offers from elsewhere, I believe, for Majovski.
How do you think they compare as a player?
I think Majovski is slightly better, and the reason I say that is probably because I've seen him more. Ida's come up and played a part, some of the games. I think when I've seen him, he's impressed me. I think he's got a lot in his locker. I think if he got a pre-season under his belt at Celtic and then hit the ground running, look, there's goals in him, different type of player. I just feel like because I'm used to Majovski, I've watched him, I've seen him progress, I know what sort of player he is at Aberdeen, I'm just slightly favouring him.
And You've made your mind up. You say it's a no-brainer. Is there a possibility that, you know, the next few weeks could play a part? You know, what part does Adam Ida play in this? Does he score some of the goals that fire Celtic towards the title?
I would actually start him against Hearts, if I'm being honest, because Jordan's right. He gives us a different dimension, and I think his physicality might stand us in good stead against Hearts. If you actually look at the pattern when Edward came in, Rodgers didn't give him very many starts. He didn't give Edward very many starts. And I think Ida's on the same trajectory for a Brendan Rodgers perspective, and I think that he will sign for Celtic. I don't think they'll pay £5 million, incidentally, but that's what the paper's saying. But you know, and I know when they start to argue in the toss, I mean, I think that was how they got Copper Wire. because Peter Lowell started arguing with somebody over a penny. So I'm pretty sure it'll not be £5 million.
Let's just say your suggestion of alternatives. I'm reliably informed that £5 million wouldn't cut it for Bojan Majovski. That's the word that's reaching me right now. I don't need you to say any more.
I wonder why you were smiling.
I don't need you to come back.
Oh, I know where that's coming from.
Okay. People listen to this show.
Yeah, I know where that's coming from.
I'm reliably informed.
I'll tell you what.
You're going to need to add a bit on.
I'll tell you what, he's listening, right? If you walk in and you say there's a £5 million,
let's do the negotiating live on this show then.
Yeah, exactly.
How much you want?
The source is adamant. £5 million,
right? Okay, well, fair enough. By the way, see, but fair enough.
Good on them, because
see, that's what you did. You did that West to Scotland thing, Mark Wilson. You could get there and you get your
hold on
£5 million, no problem.
I did follow up by saying maybe Aberdeen.
Conor Barron for
Aberdeen.
No,
get Conor Barron for that. He's worth more than that. But I did say that Aberdeen might not fancy selling them to a Scottish club. They might want them to go elsewhere. But £5 million, not enough. Right, we'll see when £5 million's on the table then.
Maybe I was a bit hasty there with the five.
Stuart is in Cambuslang. If you personally had the £5 million cheque, Stuart, are you handing it over for Adam Ida or not?
A player I would look at if I was Celtic, I don't know what he would go for, is Ellis Sims. It's on loan at Coventry at the moment. I don't know what kind of money he would go for, but every time I see him, the guy seems to get better and better. Do you know what I mean? And I think if you got him for £5 million, I think he'd be a better bet, to be fair.
So is this a no to Adam Ida, or are you just looking at alternatives? If it was all about Adam Ida, firstly, how would you feel about £5 million for him before we assess other options?
Well, £5 million in this day and age, it's not a lot of money in the transfer market the way it is. Yeah, you would go for it. But I've had a choice for £5 million, Ellis Sims or Ida, I would pick Ellis Sims all day long.
The problem with this is, right, the reason we're having the discussion about Adam Ida is because the reports today are that it's £5 million, right? So you've done a bit of speculation about Majovski. We're told it would take more than five, but I think with the best will in the world that there would be a ceiling on that. There wouldn't be, a million miles away from five. Once we start randomly saying, oh, could we get Ellis Sims for five? I've no idea, but I wouldn't have thought so. English Championship market's quite something. He's getting 19 goals for Coventry this season. His footballing, education background is at Everton. Yeah. He's been in that English system. He is only 23.
Just a boy who's at Hearts.
Yeah, he's got 19 goals for Coventry this season. Done it in some big games in the FA Cup as well. Much harder for me to assess than it would be Majovski, who's closer. I can't... Am I wrong in that?
No, I think you're spot on, because when you look at Ida, before he came to Celtic, where was he in the pecking order? Why did Norwich allow him to go on loan? Because he wasn't, pulling up any trees. He wasn't really in the starting 11 every week. That's why you let a player go on loan. Now, with Sims, it's the opposite. He's very much in demand. He's doing the job that's required at Coventry. If he was to be sold, it would be... top door. Yeah, I don't think you would get him for £5 million. I really don't, just with the way that window operates down there. Yeah, market, sorry.
I mean, every situation's different, Gordon, but you see some absolute funny money for Championship strikers getting thrown around, don't you?
Matt makes a great point that Norwich were quite happy for Ida to leave the building, right? Go and get some game time, put a bit of value onto what you're all about. Whereas the lad at Coventry, he's playing every week. He's scoring goals. So you ain't going to walk down there and just say to Coventry, right, we're Celtic, there's £5 million, thanks for your player. That ain't going to happen. Ida's probably in the market if you're going around that £5 million. So it'll be interesting to see.
And what Patrick's pointing out, he was signed for £7 million by Coventry. Patrick's tweeted to remind us. So,
it's not going to go down after all the goals.
Stuart, how would you assess Adam Ida then? How would you assess his career so far?
What concerns me that he couldn't get a game for Norwich, and I've seen Norwich this season, and he was on the bench a lot, and that concerns me a wee bit.
But how do you think he's done for Celtic though? Because I get why you say that, but ultimately the most interesting thing is how he does in this environment, isn't it? There's been loads of players that maybe haven't cut it elsewhere and been great here, or vice versa.
To be fair, when the guys come in, he's done a job and he scored goals, and that's all you're looking for. Do you know what I mean? Any time he's came on or whatever, I don't know his stats, many goals he's got, but he's done extremely well every time he's come on. So
yeah, I think maybe we should take a gamble on him and see how it goes.
Fair enough. Thank you to Stuart, 0141 951 1025. Good time to call if you want involved in that. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. The question for you tonight, for the Celtic fans certainly, was, would you sign Adam Ida for £5 million? Because that's the newspaper reports this morning, suggesting that's what it would take. And we're wondering if you think that's good business or not. The first caller said that would be a no-brainer. Lots of other callers then just wanted to offer alternative names, which makes me think they don't quite feel it's a no-brainer. But what do you think? Keep your calls coming. If you want to change the subject, that is absolutely fine. But it does feel like that one has ignited a bit looking at these phone lines. So let's bring in Peter, who is in Irvine. Would you sign Adam Ida for £5 million? Yes or no, Peter?
No.
No.
Good evening, panel. Thanks for taking my call again.
Pleasure.
I just say to the producer there, Celtic have 60-odd million in the bank. if they win the league, they'll have another 60, roughly, 120 million before they sell O'Reilly, Hitati, Kyogo, if they choose to sell these guys. Could be 200 million. I would like to see five players minimum brought in with no less than a 10 million tag on each and every one of them. Now, I know he's maybe have a wee giggle at that.
I'm sorry, I have to put my hands up and say, Celtic are not spending 50 million on five players this summer.
To be honest, it's what they need to do. See, if they want to keep Rangers in second place and stop making a mug of us in Europe, it's what has to happen. I mean, £3.5 million, it's not cheap, but see the dross you get for that these days in our league. It might be okay for the league, but we're half in stock in Europe all the time. And if we get there, they need to spend that. Do you know what I mean? 20, we beat Rangers in most departments, but I think they beat us on that one. Still was floor, still the mess.
12 million?
12
million, innit? So we need to beat them there as well.
I go 13.
That's not really the way. What's that? It's just a random record. You don't get anything for having spent more money than anyone else.
Well, ask the Rangers fans how they thought he flowed for 12
million. Here's the point of what you do with that fee, because actually, his goal scoring record's not that bad. It was pretty good, but it's held up as a flop because the price was so high. I don't know. I get Peter's point at the start of it, but all of a sudden there's 200 million in the bank. Yeah. There's 50 million being spent on five players.
That leaves you 150 to play with.
Kind of get away.
I'm not sure.
Just in case you need a keeper at the end.
With Peter saying the dross that, you know, a couple of million or 3 or 4 million quid gets you, isn't it good enough? You have to look at what was spent on Matt O'Reilly. Was it 1.5 million and quoted maybe for 20 plus million to Atletico Madrid? I know Jota was slightly more expensive for around the 6 million, but then you sell them on for a huge profit. And whether you like it or not, Pierre, that is just the model that Celtic choose. That is the environment we're in here in Scotland. I don't think anyway in my lifetime I'll ever see a Celtic or a Rangers team splashing 50 million quid because they want to make a real dent in the Champions League. Because let's be honest, 50 million quid will not make a real dent in the Champions League. These teams are operating at 200 and 300 million pounds.
It would make you better, but I still think that is unrealistic. Well, you know, it's
make you better.
And throw on top of that, if you're bringing a 10 million pound player in,
that's always
you're playing
the wage, yes.
Big wages.
Times five.
Oh, times
200 million's gone.
I agree with you. I totally understand Peter's point of view, and that Celtic have been criticised before about spend the cash. It just ain't going to happen in Scottish football that way.
Why would you not go fight? So you think 5 million's too much for Adam Ida, Peter?
No, I actually don't. I think he's done all right at Celtic, and I think he's a decent enough player for the Scottish league. But we might make a mark in Europe for a change. Yeah, but I mean, this is Glasgow Celtic. I can't believe your reaction to that. This is Glasgow Celtic, known in every country around the world. The following they've got, the money that everybody spends on the club as well. They've never had 120. They're going to have at least 120 before the sell-in. If they win the league, they'll be 120 odd million.
You do have to run a football club off that money. Remember, it's not quite the way it works. It just all sits there.
Oh no, I realise that, but at the same time, we want to beat Rangers on that highest player boat anyway.
Why? What difference would that make?
The bragging rights, Peter, isn't it?
I've never heard it.
Just pay 15 million quid for Ida. There you go.
Put it this way, have sorted. You, have you ever heard the Rangers fan say, ah, we've still got the record transfer fee?
No, many of them.
what would that achieve, Peter?
I don't know. They started counting their trophies back in 2016, so...
Yeah, I know, but trophies won tends to be quite an important thing for a football club. Who's got the record transfer? I don't know. I don't know if it matters. Because you could then... It then can be a stick to beat you with. If the guy isn't any good, then it's you become a joke figure for spending that money.
I think the model that Celtic has got is more should be more applauded than splashing 12 and 15
just
million
to
pounds
say you've
every
year.
When you're buying players for 5-6 million pounds, selling them for 20 or 25 million pounds, that's to be applauded, I think. No, the old 12 million marquee signing who doesn't hit the heights.
Anyway, thank you, Peter. I want to get Peter as my accountant. I'll tell you that, he can do wonders.
We'd be spending for fun. Imagine Peter, you've got X, Y, and Z in the bank, on you go. Next minute, chap at the door. Projection.
Adam Eder for £5 million. What do you think? Is it a yes or a no? 01419511025. I know these things can be fluid. I'm just asking, I guess, for your gut. Do you think Brendan Rodgers has his mind made up on Adam Eder already? Or can't, like I said to one of the previous callers, can he do something spectacular? If he's not made his mind up in a positive sense so far, can he win him over in the next couple of games? No?
No.
No?
No.
Hat-trick against Rangers to win the league, that sort of thing?
I think Brendan Rodgers is a type of manager, coach, very experienced, has a feeling for a player, knows a player, watch a player day in, day out. He's had plenty of time. And he will have sat down and thought, right, okay, can I take this guy the next step? I think Brendan Rodgers will have it in his mind just now whether he wants to keep him or not. I know what you can say. The four games plus a cup final, he could be a real hero. Of course he can. Anything can happen in football. But I think Brendan Rodgers is too good a coach and a man manager that knows a player to realise, oh well, I'll wait another 4 or 5 games and then I'll make my decision.
I disagree. I think when you bring someone in January to the end of the season, you've got to give them every chance. Now, especially, it'd be different if Ida wasn't getting any game time, he hadn't scored any goals, and quite clear you've made your mind up. But I think he is getting game time. He has scored goals and he scored a big goal at Ibrox. I think he's got 4 massive games that could make Brendan Rodgers' mind up for definite. I think he will give him every chance.
But I'm not saying he's not going to keep him. He might have made his mind up to, I'd say, I've seen enough. You've said there, he's got game time, score goals. So he might have made his mind up. I just think Brendan Rodgers is good enough to realise, this guy is going to be with me next season, or I don't think he's going to cut what I'm trying to do.
Let's try Kevin, who's on the line. Kevin, it's the same question, really. If it was 5 million for Ida, would you do it?
It's a definite no-brainer, I would say.
Okay, so why? Tell us why. What's he done that's convinced you?
Well, for me, more crucially, I think it was a double at Easter Road, and either he got the winner at Fir Park as well. So obviously, they two wins will be paramount in whoever wins the league. So if Celtic don't win either of the two games, then it's the league gone for me. So basically, you've got to obviously put the bid in if he wants to come, which I think he does, then it's a no-brainer. But really, what I was actually going to suggest to you as panel was, because Celtic are quite frugal, we all know the player model, it's selling the best player at their peak whenever there's a reasonable offer. Is I personally think Celtic might sell Kyogo in the summer and sign Ida and Miowski. I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Jeez, it's turned into proper football manager stuff today, hasn't it? I don't know, maybe. Kyogo's a really interesting one, Mark, because he has been unbelievable for Celtic. You look at where he came, and we're talking about transfer fees. What was he, 4.5 or something around that? The goals that he scored, the volume and the significant ones in big games, player of the year in Scotland last year. He's dipped a bit this year, clearly, and he's 29. Now, I'm not saying that's over the hill, but I wonder where he fits in that model Celtic have of sell players on for big money. Do you get big money for Kyogo?
I don't think you do.
Do you know what I mean? There can be some, like, it's not to say he's not good. He's very good.
I don't think you're getting a Jota fee for anything like that. would you make enough money, or would you get an offer big enough to justify letting him go? I'm not too sure. The one thing he's got in his favour this year is he added Champions League goals, which was missing. You know, teams look at that. Can he do it in the European stage? He did for the minimal period he was in it. But you're right, he's dipped. So if you're going to sell a player, you sell him at the height of stock, much like Jota. You know, he could do no wrong in Celtic and they get a huge figure for him. I don't know if Kyogo's there at the minute.
I think you still make a profit.
No, listen, what I'm saying is, it's more, I feel like clubs, it's not my opinion, I feel like clubs have an obsession now with the profile.
Yeah.
So he's going to, I didn't check his birth month, you know, there's every chance he's 30 or thereabouts by the time.
I don't think you'll get the 10, 12, 15 million or whatever, but I think you would still make a slight profit on him because I think he's still got plenty of mileage in his legs.
He's not 30 till January, you're fine.
Right, okay, plenty of goals as well. He's not had the best of seasons, right enough. Everybody seems to think that they'll sell Kyogo. I don't know where they're getting that from. I don't think Brendan Rodgers will.
Kevin, you've said no brainer to Adam Ida. You could see Adam Ida being Celtic's number one striker next season.
I wouldn't say it's a definite to be number one, but I personally think Celtic, if Kyogo's going to go, I reckon they're getting it roughly between 8 and 12 million, and to me that then funds two strikers. So the way Celtic operate, I would say that's more of a no-brainer than he'd have been number one choice.
8 to 12 million for Kyogo?
At
29, I don't think that'll happen. I think that, like, we don't know the transfer market. Sometimes it becomes silly. But if you're a club and you're sitting there, I like Kyogo. I think he's been brilliant for Celtic. But 29, 8 to 10 million. Who's taking that?
Say they would still make a profit on him?
Yeah, but I'm talking about 5 million or something. You know what under?
Well, that's half a million profit. Taking into consideration his wages, it's hardly a profit.
Well, I'm not taking in consideration, I'm talking about the transfer fee. I don't think he'll go for 10, 12. Do you think he'll go for 10, 12 million?
No, it's just you says he'll make a profit.
Well, hold on a minute. If you give me £100, I give you £500 back, are you making a profit?
If I've paid you within that X amount,
but £2 million,
you're not making a profit.
I think everybody's taking this very literally tonight, and it's turned into like proper speculation.
Where's the accountant that was on there?
Get the £150 million.
Because see, when we start throwing random fees about, it was my fault. I was naive. I thought it was structured. I thought 5 million is meant to be the price for Ida. Would you take it or not? But it's turned into a computer.
You should have just said, "Would you sign Ida?"
I did.
But you went 5 million. You've thrown it up there.
Ask your source, would they swap Kyogo for Miowski? see what they say to that. Yeah. That's the deal that's on the table.
Plus five.
Have we sold Kyogo as well?
I know. We've got rid of half the Celtic team tonight.
Anyway, right, keep the calls coming. Rangers fans, this randomly came up the other night. We didn't introduce it. A caller brought it up, but I feel like it's been added to today. I don't know if you saw Sam Lammers as player of the month in Eredivisie, the best player in the Dutch top flight in the last month. Have you changed your thoughts on him? Would you bring him back and take a look in the summer? Or are you best trying to get a fee for him? Let us know whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Ooh, it's getting closer. It is getting closer. Friday the 31st of May, taking over the Ovo Hydro for Clyde One Live. And there aren't many tickets left. The full lineup, of course, featuring Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandé and Texas. A lot of big hits on the night, and you can buy your tickets at Clyde1.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025. Hope you've been enjoying the sunshine. Gordon Dale has been frequenting the local sunbeds, he was telling us earlier on. So if you're on the live stream, you can see him looking
tanned,
looking shiny for the summer season that's coming in very soon, we hope. Keep the calls coming, the tweets, loads.
The trunk's gone.
I was going to say, what you wearing on that sunbed?
My Speedos, mate. Got to get some white bits about you. You know what they say about a chicken.
You wear Speedos and
what do they say about a chicken?
White bits are the best. Yeah, I do.
Can I just request on behalf of the nation that you never say that again?
Never heard that.
The Speedos,
I've never heard that.
I like to wear the Speedos on there.
You heard that saying before?
Never.
I'm your bad, but
the
white bits
are the best. Okay, we'll move on. These two, honestly. Lots of tweets coming in about Adamida and if the price was 5 million, would or should Celtic pay it? Mary says, people forget who is or was ahead of Adamida at Norwich. John McGuigan is not a fan at all. He's thrown all sorts out there. Ordinary, bordering on lazy. I don't think that's a bit unfair, isn't it? Kenny Lindsay, is Ida a level up on the countless 3 million dross we normally sign? 5 million isn't that much when you consider his impact, age and potential. What about Denham, who's on the phone? How are you, Denham?
I'm alright, mate. How are you doing?
Not bad. Would you sign Adam Ida for 5 million quid?
Well, 5 million pounds for, like, he might be a good striker. I think he's quite good. He's quite potent, you know. But I don't think 5 million is, like, the right price for him. I'd sign him for maybe like three point five million, but I don't think 5 million's in, like, I think 5 million pounds is a lot of money for him.
Yeah, so the answer is no then. I mean, from Denham, most people have said sort of yes so far or wanted to switch their focus elsewhere.
If that's the price tag, you're right. It's either 5 million or not, so there's no negotiating on that. You know, can you compare him to Giakoumakis? What was Giakoumakis? Because that's the most recent one, probably the profiles match. How comparable is it to him? I would probably say he was pretty close, because Giakoumakis was a bit of a slow burner when he came up first. But then with the absence of Kyogo through injury, he was the out-and-out number nine.
2.5 million.
For a prolonged period. So 2.5 million. It goes to show you that if he was 2.5 million, he led the line. He became a real favourite with the Celtic fans over that spell, and a lot of Celtic fans were sad to see him go. So £5 million isn't that far out of that price range, and I think the two strikers are,
it's double.
It's still not that far. I mean, 2.5 to 5 isn't that far. If you're talking 5 to 10, of course, then you're going, well, you're into double figures. But I think £5 million for a striker where you have to fight on four competitions,
so
might
you're
not be bad.
I've said the Aberdeen deal's
dead in the water, so Mioski's it, so it's narrowed my options. I think he's done well up here, because I think it's incredibly difficult to go into any club in January, never mind Celtic as a striker, and make a real impression. And it, then again, when you've got Kyogo in front of you. So I think an earlier caller says when he scores a couple against Hibs, he scores the winner against Motherwell, he scores the goal right at the end of Ibrox. Those are big goals within that short period of time. And that's all he can do, try and make a mark. Now he's got four other games that again he can contribute towards. So that might look entirely different at the end of that. You're right in saying, what if he scores it, if he starts or comes on against Rangers and he scores a double that wins the game, then he's got that to add to the body of work he's had previously, and that puts him in a different position. So
Denham, could you see him being Celtic's number one striker next season, or is this 5 million, well, you don't even want to pay five, but you'd sign him sort of still back up to Kyogo, or what do you think?
I think there's a load of pressure on them to perform for these last five games, four, because he's got Kyogo to try outplay, whilst the Old Firm derby is after this Hearts Celtic game. In mind, Celtic haven't beaten Hearts in like a few months' time, and I think that game will actually be really, really big. I think that'll be one of the hardest games out of the split for Celtic. Other than Rangers.
Yeah, it will be for the destination of the title, Gordon. But you think managers, and particularly Brendan Rodgers, in terms of players, you think the mind will be made up from him?
I think Brendan Rodgers is at the top level of management and understanding a player. He works with him every day. You know, he's seen him in games. He's brought him on in games. He's started him in games. He's asked to, you know, get on and change and score goals and take responsibility in penalty kicks. He'll have a idea of the lad's personality. Is he strong enough to beat Celtic and pay that money? So I think Brendan Rodgers, very experienced. I think guys like Brendan Rodgers will probably have it in the back of his mind. Yep, this boy, I can turn this boy into X, Y, and Z. 5 million's a bargain. If it is 5 million, I can take him forward. He's got to play a big part. Gives us such an options. Everybody thinks because of Kyogo, well, will he be the number one? But Celtic play that many games. And obviously injuries and suspensions, and okay, Kyogo doesn't get a lot of them.
But there's a lot of competition to be played. You think managers maybe will be a bit more, you know, methodical, but certainly in the eyes of the fans, so it's a bit split here, I think, on the phones. You know, some saying, ah, yeah, well, first guy said no brainer. Denham saying, nah, I'd want it 3.5. Others saying, I'd rather have Miovski. But fans are allowed to be fickle. If Adam Ida goes and scores title and Scottish Cup winning goals in the next few weeks, they'll all phone in and say it's a no-brainer, surely.
Yeah, 100%.
Because then you're showing that you can step up at the big moments.
But see, Celtic, and this is why I'm saying I think it's important for Celtic, because Celtic come in from their supporters, a lot of criticism in the last couple of transfer windows. They were slow. They didn't get the right players in. Brendan Rodgers even came out in January. He wanted 4 players. And it became night after night, Celtic fans phoning this show complaining, rightly so. I think Celtic, if they're not going to go with Ida, I think they're already looking at targets now anyway. So whether, that's why I'm saying, I know what Mark's point is, that he can, you know, there's what, 4 league games and 1 cup final, 5 massive games for Celtic. And you look at a player and say, he could become a Celtic hero all of a sudden. But I just think that Brendan Rodgers looks at the bigger picture. And I'm giving Brendan Rodgers compliment here, because I think he's that experienced, a manager and a coach. He will have feelings for a player and know, yes, I can take him. Or, hold on a minute, I think we're looking at different targets here.
Robert and Castlemilk, what's your verdict?
Hi, Dana. I would say the 5 million, no problem.
Yeah.
The reason I said, they were talking about Miovski as well. I like Miovski, he scores a lot of goals for Aberdeen. But many times we see him scoring more than one, on a regular basis.
I mean, does it matter if you don't do that within individual games? Is it not, you know, you just look at the total, would you not?
Yeah, but if they sign him for next season, I think he's going to get more than one game. And see when you get him, and he's a different player from what we've got.
Here, I'll throw this at you, Robert. What happens, Miovski comes from Aberdeen to Celtic? What's he going to get as a Celtic centre forward? More chances, yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So I don't buy your argument that, you know, he can only score one. Listen, you come to a team like Celtic and Rangers. They dominate most games. They get the most chances. Everybody talks about this season, for instance, Rangers, Dessers, 20 goals. How many chances has he missed? Probably give that boy the opportunities. He's scoring a lot of goals. He's achieved that at Aberdeen. He's been absolutely brilliant for Aberdeen. So I wouldn't be too bothered focusing on, well, how many games did they only score one goal? Listen, the boy's a terrific talent.
Either I think next season will put more chances away than what he is at the moment. Once he's settled in, you know.
Yeah, that's a different argument.
That's the bit that's very, well, it's hard to assess, but that's, you know, why Brendan Rodgers and his recruitment staff are paid big money. You're looking at Adam Ida right now, but what potential can you spot? You know, once he's been here for a bit, once he's experienced it all, how much better would he be next season? The answer might be not better at all, of course, but That would have to be taken into consideration.
Well, his profile must have fitted what Brendan Rodgers expects, a sort of backup, a plan B centre forward to look, apart from Kyogo. And then you've got to think, what impact does he make when he gets here? He's made an impact, there's no doubt about that. So all the boxes are probably ticked for Ida. 5 million, is that right? Probably, I would say it's accurate.
Thank you, Robert. It's that time of the night where you go up against two of the finest brains in Scottish football to try and win a sign ball. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Look, maybe I was stretching the truth when I said two of the finest brains in Scottish football, but Mark and Gordon are here and they're willing to take you on. So 01419511025, lines close at 7, and Beat the Pundit's next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. The first hour spent largely discussing whether you Celtic fans would like to see 5 million spent on Adam Ida or not. That inevitably led into other players that you would perhaps prefer to see the money spent on. Rangers fans, I said before the news, I had noticed that Sam Lammers is player of the month in the Eredivisie. I wonder how you feel about him currently and whether you'd like to see him given a second chance or even getting a look during pre-season or whatever. Do let us know right now and we'll try and get you on as soon as we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Huge, huge period of the season this. Not only in the Premiership and beyond, but on Beat the Pundit as well.
Why?
Every result can see people shifting in and out of the European places. Mark Wilson, if you play tonight and you win, you go into the coveted best of the rest slot.
Yeah, I like that. I like that pressure.
But I've got the most wins.
Halliday, Hannah, Miller, 100% records, untouchable. If you win tonight, you go above Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans into the best of the rest spots.
You happy with that, mate?
I like that.
I've got the most wins out of anybody.
It's based on win percentage.
Listen, here's what I tell you. See, at the end of the year, the awards, and somebody goes top goal scorer, they're not going to say, hold on a minute, he played 40 games and he scored 80 goals. You're a top goal scorer. End of story.
Except our league table works on win percentage. So thanks for the completely irrelevant comparison.
No.
You are on 59%, second bottom.
Relegation zone there.
How many wins have I had?
Above you, Jim, Cammy, Marvin, Mark Wilson, Simon Donoghue.
Who's the group above you?
They've played about three games.
Charlie McGrew's still below you because he's only won one out of four.
Don't invite Charlie ever back.
So there we go.
Charlie, does he?
Oh, no.
Anyway, Stuart's in Shettleston. How are you, Stuart?
Yes, very well, thank you.
Have you ever played before?
No, I've not played, no.
Quite right. That's, I like it when it's a debutant. Do you not have a guy this week? He's played
four times. He played he played me last week.
Yeah, but we've had a couple of times. In fact, last night the guy played twice. He'd lost twice to Hugh and came back for more and lost again.
Did he lose again?
And you know, he called him Keevans. You know, Hugh hates that. So Hugh was texting straight away, delighted that he beat
him. Somebody told me about that today. No, he told Stephen Bell told me about that. Stephen Bell, the player, he told me about it. He said, I was listening to Beat the Pundit. Somebody called Hugh Keevans.
Doesn't like it at all. Anyway, DL and Wilson are up. Heads it will be Wilson, tails it will be DL. Let's see, here we go. And it is tails.
Could I go above somebody tonight?
No, I don't think
Just another goal for then fun. For me.
You might get above Jim Duffy.
Another maybe. Goal for me
I'd
tonight.
I need to crunch the numbers.
Okay.
Right, let's give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to. And we'll turn that up nice and loud.
What the fuck?
Don't sing, please, if you can help it. Stuart, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Good man. Your time then starts now. Name any senior Celtic player who's on loan at another Scottish side.
Pass.
Malik Tillman joined Rangers on loan from which team?
Ajax.
Who's the top scoring Scottish player in the English Premier League this season?
Andy Robertson.
In what year was the last Scottish Cup final without Celtic or Rangers?
2002.
What sports brand manufacturer makes the Scotland kit?
Adidas.
Who was the first side Derek McInnes managed?
Okay,
let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can
you
hear us?
I'm here.
Good, same set of questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. Name any senior Celtic player who's on loan at another Scottish team.
Pass.
Malik Tillman joined Rangers on loan from which team?
PSG.
Who's the top scoring Scottish player in the English Premier League this season?
McTominay.
In what year was the last Scottish Cup final without Celtic or Rangers?
2019.
Which sports brand manufacturer makes the Scotland kits?
Umbro.
Umbro. Who was the first side that Derek McInnes managed?
St. Johnstone.
Umbro. Umbro. When was the last time Umbro manufactured the Scotland kit?
That was France 1998 you're thinking of.
Umbro.
Did they not stay with them?
If you know, like, you genuinely can't envisage the Scotland strip right now, or no. the one before that, or the one before that, or so on.
No,
because we were discussing anyway. I'm going to get to that question. Name any Celtic player on loan at another Scottish side. You've actually not got loads to choose from. Kwon is at St Mirren, and the other one's a bit of a sneaky one because I can't quite remember officially. Adam Montgomery at Motherwell. I think
he's injured.
Yeah, and I don't know if the loan got terminated as a result. It was a bit of a grey area. It doesn't matter. None of you got Kwon either, so
it's a hard one.
0-0. I'm disappointed in you, Malik Tillman. Bayern Munich.
Oh, sure it was. I knew
you were thinking PSV, but you know,
I knew it was just a big club, and I couldn't remember who it was.
The top scoring Scottish player in the English Premier League, Ollie McBurnie and John McGinn have got 6. Scott McTominay's got 7. Gordon Dalziel goes 1-0 in front.
Oh my God, you must be a really bad Stuart. Come on.
In what year was the last Scottish Cup final without Celtic or Rangers? 2021. Still 1-0. Gordon Dalziel.
Oh, sure.
Steady. This is where it goes. You're right in that the Scottish strips were manufactured by Umbro from 1974.
There you go.
Until 1999.
But you didn't make a date.
So it was quite a while ago.
It's a brilliant answer.
25 years since Umbro made the Scottish strips.
You've had Fila, Diadora, Adidas.
Obvious.
I was going to say Adidas, but it was too.
I don't know why I find that so funny. Just how quick
Stuart,
you said
get
it.
That.
The big Umbro specials. Stuart got
everybody
it.
Got that.
Yeah, genuinely everybody got that. That was the easiest question by a man.
I'll be going to Germany with my Umbro top on.
We were discussing this.
The big diamond.
We were discussing this in the office yesterday. We had a planning meeting for the Euros. You two weren't invited, and genuinely part of the discussion was they two better have Scotland strips to wear.
I've got loads. I've got loads of my own.
So you'll need to dish them out to him. Are you the same size?
No, I've got. Listen,
because they were big
that.
And baggy back in those days. So
somebody on
him.
It, right? I'll not. I don't want to throw him the under the bus, right? Yeah. But we were talking about if we were to try and get some, would they both be a large? And I said yes. And somebody in this office was like, "Come on, Daz is bigger than a large."
I just the biceps.
Genuinely,
maybe struggle.
And when I tell you who, you'll hate it.
Who says that?
I'll tell you
as
who
Chris.
It is. And I'll
no,
tell you.
It wasn't Chris.
Oh, was it? No, because he was. Getting
producer
you know
Chris,
what?
It wasn't. I'll tell you later.
It wasn't a big lanky John, was it?
No, it wasn't. Big
you can't leave us in that cliffhanger.
Exactly.
Get them under
it,
the bus.
It doesn't mean much to the listeners, but you two will appreciate it.
Who's having a go at you? Somebody in the office.
Who was the first side Derek McInnes managed? St Johnston. Stuart got it as well. Oh, 2-2.
Did he get another question?
Tiebreaker time.
Oh, no. Yes. Tiebreaker.
Yes. What entertainment for the listeners.
Look, right, Stuarty boy. Come on.
You think we would learn our lesson, wouldn't you? I just flipped over my sheet to find that last night's tiebreaker is still on there after the debacle.
I didn't hear it,
ago.
So just give us that.
Is there any chance we could listen to the previous night's show and take the tiebreaker off it? I know it's a mad idea, but let's see if we can put that in place for next season.
How many yellow cards have been dished over? Stuart, what's your answer?
Did you listen to last night's show?
No.
Just for the record, it was 539 goals scored in the Scottish Premiership.
We do have
another question on here, luckily.
Right, cool.
So let's go to the tiebreaker. What I'll do, Stuart, I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Gordon to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Yeah, but.
How many caps as captain do Scott Brown, Darren Fletcher and Barry Ferguson have combined?
Who?
I'll repeat Hurry the question. How many caps? Don't say it yet, Stuart. How many caps as captain, specifically right. as captain, do Scott Brown, Darren Fletcher and Barry Ferguson have? Write it down, please. Hurry up. Okay, what are you going for, Stuart?
120.
Okay.
That's a lot.
120.
I went 64, bingo.
Doing the maths, okay, 64, that's even I can figure out that arithmetic. I'm afraid Gordon Dalziel has won. It's 87.
Yes, Stuarty boy.
That has to be the worst pundit game ever.
It wasn't great.
All right, because you lost?
No, the pressure got to us.
I did, mate, you bottled it, didn't you? You bottled it.
Well, listen, Stuart, the pressure got to you and you still drew with him in normal time, so that tells you everything
Stuart,
about his performance.
I've got sunstroke. You know what I mean? I've got an excuse.
What, from 9 minutes of Tan Canary?
I was 8 on the big power one. So I've got an excuse, Stuart.
I'm going to fives
right. Are you going to fives right now, are you?
Aye.
Oh, I hope none of the boys are listening. That was Stuart and Shettleton, by the way. Thank you very much, Stuart. Take care.
Unlucky, Stuart.
Nice night for a game of fives, isn't it?
Nah, I don't know. Golf, a bit, no fives.
Lovely. Yeah.
Oh, get the win percentage up for that's another win. That's another goal.
You know, it's funny that this is surely where the likeness ends, because every ex-pro really, or I feel like most of them, all play charity games and things like that, or like a yeah. game of fives. And you're the only one I've met that says you pretty much hate playing football. You've never kicked a ball since you retired.
Never, ever. No.
Like, just not interested.
No.
And I thought that's quite weird. Until today, I was listening to a podcast and I heard Gary Lineker say the same thing. See,
really?
That officially is where the similarities end, though, right?
Prolific goal scorers, they're fed up scoring goals, fed up playing. Gaza
just scored
and Daza.
Too many.
No, I don't see the point. And do you know what they do? Everybody, I was talking to James McFadden today, right? Oh, I've pulled my hamstring, I've done my knee, I've done. What is the point? You don't see Asda workers going back and going, do you know what? I'd love another shift.
That's a good point.
They don't.
Let me just do the tills for 10, 15 minutes. I know I wasn't as good the last day. You know what I mean?
He's
Matt?
Got a point
right,
there.
I know that was mildly funny and sorry to poke holes in your analogy, but the whole point is that was a hobby that turned into a job for you guys. It's everybody's hobby.
He didn't see that. Yeah, it wasn't even a hobby for him. I don't think he even liked playing it when you were young, did you?
No, it was a job. Football is a job.
Absolute weirdo,
it's a job.
I know.
End of story. You go, you do your hours, you get paid, boom. See, when it comes the old time, the legs have gone, right? Then you just go and find another nice
sport.
It
doesn't matter because you don't play, but you're still always, I've got gout, my hips
gone. I've not
gone,
got gout.
Knee.
See, you've made that up and people were pointing a finger at me. Here's gout, Dazzler
oh,
coming.
You've no. always, you've
people
always got an ailment.
Gordon the gout.
They were making fool of me and everything, aye. But I've got to say,
here's the irony though, you're talking about injuries. I've known you for about 14 years. I've never seen you not limp.
You've
limped for 14 years.
I can go to bed on Thursday night and wake up with a swollen ankle.
I know,
Friday,
that's what I'm
right?
saying.
And it has to be a Thursday.
I don't think that's right.
Have you noticed that he always limps?
Aye. You must have a problem with your circulation or something.
I had an MRI scan for my left, right? My left started feeling okay and I woke up and couldn't walk my right. There's something going on in my bed that I don't know about.
Do you know what would square you up? We gave a fives.
I would never play five.
We should get a group ace in the office. Just end of season five.
Remember you and I went to do some filming with him in a fives pitch and he couldn't kick the ball in the legs of the fives pitch.
His technique was horrendous.
Pickleball. I like pickleball. That way, mate. Pickleball and golf. Fives are...
Tim Henman over there. Right, anyway, let's get back to the phones. 01419511025. I said earlier on, one of the tweets that had caught my eye today was that Sam Lammers was the player of the month in the Eredivisie this month, and I wonder what you Rangers fans made of it. Some of you might shrug your shoulders and say, I couldn't care less. Some of you might say that can drive his price up, we'll sell him. Others might want to take another look in the summer. What's your take on it, Stuart, in Hamilton?
All right, guys, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Aye, not bad.
Good. What are you thinking? Sam Lammers.
Sam Lammers was honestly, he was an empty jersey at Rangers. And I know Philip Clement's a great manager, but he's not a wizard. He's not a miracle worker.
But I suppose that's the question, though. The player of the month, and I know it's just one award, but player of the month in the Dutch league, would it take a miracle for him to be a player at Rangers? Do you need to be a miracle worker, or was the guy maybe just written off too quickly, or what do you think?
No, that league, you can't trust that league. How many English teams sing to us for big money and are total flops down south? Anthony, for starters, we go back a couple of years, that Jahan batch for Brighton, big money, and they're awful players. You can't trust that league in the slightest.
Yeah, I don't mind a comparison. I don't know. Anthony's failure to do it at Man United, I don't know if that would make any difference to Sam Lammers.
No.
You know,
you've got to give credit to Lammers, right?
Our league is, I love our league wholeheartedly, so I mean this in the nicest way possible, but you wouldn't say it's not like the Dutch league, some sort of Mickey Mouse league compared to ours.
No, but we had a glance at that in the Champions League this year, and we've seen, you know, how good those sides are. But you've got to give credit to Lammers. We're talking about Ida coming to Celtic and knowing he has to make an impression, but Lammers the same. He has to go and not rebuild his career, but just find a place that suits him. He scored 8 goals in the last 7 games. Am I right in saying that? Or, you know, he's been on fire. He's found a place that he's happy with his surroundings, that people want him there, and he's enjoying his football. There's obviously a player in there. Just wasn't at Rangers. He just didn't fit the mould. He was playing at a tough time.
So on that though, do you mean that mean like he will never fit the mould at Rangers? Well, that, what do you think? Because we all know, look, we all know the pressure, the expectation. It's unique.
Yeah,
you know, you can go to Utrecht and it's nowhere near the same expectation. Do you think what he's shown is that the Rangers really need to take a look again in the summer?
I think so.
Or will the decision have been made that this guy doesn't have the temperament, whatever, to, you know, to survive?
Well, there's a couple of things to it, isn't there? I think every Rangers supporter was delighted when he left the building. He said that he's not been played in his right position. Okay, he says an out-and-out centre-forward. Secondly, I think Rangers, and I think Mark makes that point, that, you know, under Michael Beale, I thought to make your mark at Rangers would be very, very... You look at before Clement came in, Rangers fans were crying to get rid of quite a few of them. And all of a sudden, they got a tune out of them. You know, and some of them became a bit of, you know, favourites week in, week out. But I just think that if he's went over there, he's got a bit of confidence. You can say what you want about the league. He's got a bit of confidence. He's come back over... pre-season, under a new manager, under new players. I think Rangers will improve next year because I think they'll have a big clear out and bring in more quality. I think it's worth a go because you've always got that option to say, right, see if it doesn't work, you can ship him on now because he showed over there that he can score goals.
So you think just sell straight away in the summer if you can, Stuart?
I think, talking about the goals, actually benefit Rangers to get their money back.
That can be the best case scenario, Mark. Say Philippe Clement has made his mind up, will not budge on it, he'll be absolutely delighted that the loan spell's going well, because as Stuart says, you can then command a better fee for him.
Well, that is the purpose. If there is a player that doesn't fit your mould and you want him out, you obviously want him to go and do well to increase his price or to increase the possibility of that parent, that loan club taking him.
So Lammers back and it's better for you.
Well, yeah.
By the way, not even them taking him though, it's anyone else.
Someone else, yeah. So listen, give the player credit, because look, I was one of his harshest critics here. I didn't think he did anything in a Rangers jersey. But sometimes you just need a different setting, a bit less pressure on you to show the ability is there. It's clearly there. But whether that ability matches his capabilities of dealing with pressure, can Ibrox, think a different thing.
As Stuart Hamill says about empty jerseys going away and coming back and making a mark, who's been successful in that? The only one I can think of last year was, you look at Scales, for instance, right? Aberdeen, at the close season, everybody thought he was destined to go back to Aberdeen, was not good enough to play with Celtic. Now, I'm not saying Scales going forward has got to be the Celtic left centre-back, but you've got to say he's had a really good season. You know, he's come back from Aberdeen, he's got his opportunity, new manager, all of a sudden got a lift, started getting regular games, and him and Carter Vickers are the two centre-backs just now. And he's fought off players that have come in with big price tags, centre-backs. So sometimes it's worth just giving them a benefit of the doubt. I could be wrong. I think maybe the Rangers manager will know everything about him.
It was known for a while as the Ryan Christie rule, I think. Remember, he was pretty much going to leave Celtic.
Yeah.
And went on loan, came back. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he struggled initially as much as Sam Lammers did, but I suppose what a loan spell can do is worth bearing in mind. Thanks to Stuart. I wonder what you think out there. If you are agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard, now would be the perfect time to share it.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where Mark Wilson and Gordon DL have to put their brain power together to come up with the answers to the full time teaser. So let's do it.
Full time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Okay, thanks to Derek Morrison for sending this in. Can you name the last 9 former Rangers players who've played in a Champions League semi-final? Really good question, this. You guys were just talking about the Champions League during the break.
Former Rangers players.
What don't you understand?
I'm reading that other question. Ah, there you go. I was right into that.
Dado Purcell.
Can you name the last 9 former Rangers players who've played in a Champions League semi-final?
Purcell.
Yes, for Monaco, 2005. I think this could be
Jelovic.
No, I think you'll be terrible at this.
I think
just not your.
It's not my bag.
Not that you have many, but this isn't it.
Right, okay. I think you're maybe a bit hasty.
No, just European football's not for you.
Gattuso.
Yep, for Milan in 2007.
Oh,
come on, let's go. Okay, come on, we're going down that road. Who else did Rangers have a bit at? De Boers. Both of them.
No.
What? Bruno Alves.
Not in the last nine. Nope.
In the last nine, right. Bruno Alves, good shout.
That was a good shout. I liked that. No, Gordon? Is that a no to that?
It's no for the third time, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Maybe right. I was just trying to convince you a little bit. Right, okay, let's get our heads together here, Mark. If we can work the plan out. La semi-final. Okay.
Gattuso and Purcell anymore?
There's got to be a goalkeeper. Close.
No. But actually...
No?
I don't know if I should tell you this now. Too late. I've kind of shown my hand. There is no goalkeeper.
Right.
So I wouldn't waste your time thinking about goalies if you can help it.
Tillman?
No. Okay, no. We'll leave it there. And don't forget, it's
Tillman.
And I'll just leave him. It's because he came up on...
Yeah. There's always one. There's always a doubler.
Has Keith played in the Champions League semi-final?
Bayern Munich. He was on the bench. I'm sure he was.
No, they have to have actually played as well. Anyway, 01419511025. That's the number you need on the phones. And of course you can tweet as well at ClydeSSB if you so wish.
I don't know, it's a sneaky one. Is Gilmore one?
No, he's not.
Why?
Well, he never played for Rangers for a start.
Right, okay.
I don't even know if he played in the semi-final. I know he was on the bench in the final. I'll need to double check, but he didn't play for Rangers. So, sorry. Okay, we'll leave it there. And
Van Bronckhorst.
Ange Ball has become a bit deflated recently, but he's about to kick off against Chelsea. That's what the guys are keeping an eye at. We're not doing answers to the teaser anymore, I'm afraid.
Please just give me one.
We've moved on.
You'll forget you said Van Bronckhorst. You better give it.
Fine.
Yes.
Barcelona in 2006.
Arteta.
Not doing this anymore. Yesterday we had the latest results from the independent review panel on the VAR decisions. There was 10 mistakes according to them. Stuart Kettlewell, Derek McInnes have both had their say on VAR today. So if you've any thoughts, it may be anything that annoyed you last night that you want to try and pick up on, or you want to react to these comments when I play them, you can do that. What are your thoughts looking back on that news yesterday, and maybe overall your general thoughts on that topic that seems to divide opinion so much? 01419511025. Let's go to Thomas, who's on the line. How are you, Thomas?
I'm fine, yeah. Thanks, yourself.
Yeah, all good, all good. What are you thinking tonight?
I was wanting to ask all leagues, but specifically Mark, if he thinks maybe next season Brendan will go back to his tried and tested 4-2-3-1 after having a season to assess what he's got. And I say that specifically because you've been talking about a lot about Adam Eder tonight, but I think Timoke Awata could be a big player for Celtic. He's about the cleanest baller that I've seen in Scotland for years. Very rarely takes two touches, very rarely wastes a ball, and he's only played about 16 games. Once he gets fitter, I think he could be an outstanding player for Celtic next year, really. And I was just wanting to ask Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Well, Awata's done okay. I think he does look neat and tidy on the ball. He doesn't stray too much from that middle area, which you always need. You know, you need somebody to anchor your midfield for you, and I think he does a good job at that. Will he revert back to the 4-2-3-1? Well, it depends what he wants to give up. If you go back to a 4-2-3-1, you've still got the same personnel that you've got just now. You're probably leaving a Hatate, or you're taking away Hatate's best position, O'Reilly as well. So you're sacrificing just having that one holder in Callum McGregor with two ahead of him, to change for a McGregor and a Wata, for instance, and one in that number 10 role. I don't know. I really don't. What would show them? I think in the Champions League, if they have to get to the Champions League or any European football anyway, I think Celtic should have a look at that. I think they were too exposed in that area. And when you go up those levels and you're exposed in the centre of the park, you will get picked off, and it's been quite apparent. So I think you may look at it in that respect, but I don't know if you need
it. It takes more than that anyway though, doesn't it? Because if we're saying Thomas, Brendan Rodgers, the first time he was here, played 4-2-3-1, it's not like that magically makes you more secure in Europe, as we know from back in his first spell.
No, I know that, but I think it's naive to be saying, talking about O'Reilly and Hatate going to be at Celtic next season too. I really do. Hatate's face was tripping him when never got to leave last year. And O'Reilly's, there's more offers coming in by the week now, but it looks at him. So I think it'd be naive to think that they two will be wearing Celtic strips next season. So, well, definitely the two of them. O'Reilly, I think, will be away. I think especially if he goes to the Euros and gets on and has some good minutes there, then there's no doubt about it. And I think Hatate would jump at a decent move than the other day. I think Hasid was starting last year. So I think you're not hurting anyone's head. But where do you want to go?
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be planning having him next season. I think he'll be planning spending the money he gets for League 2.
But that's fine then, though. But would that money... So that money wouldn't be spent on like-for-like replacements then, do you think? Do you think that the structure of that midfield would change?
I don't think that he's... I think Celtic are too top heavy now. I think we need to balance the team out a wee bit more. It's all good when it's at the front three, but when you break that front three, we're too open. So I think, especially going into Europe, I think it'll change the system. And I just think watching a lot, I've not seen them giving away a free kick for winning a ball back yet. Very rarely the guy even hits the deck. He's so clean. And I just think in that system, he would be a great player. That's all.
I feel like the way the game's evolving, Gordon, you get these little, mini periods. And I know you can't broad brush and be throwing all sorts of generalisations out, but maybe a decade ago, slightly more, there were quite a few guys who did just sit there, right? But I do feel like now, if you look at the top teams, and it's all relative, even if it is your deeper lying midfielder, your defensive midfielder, they need to be really effective, don't they? Like, they need to be able to do it all. Like,
yeah.
If they're going to do that, they need to be able to offer so much. I don't think there's many teams now who have a guy that just puts out fires.
Yeah, they days are gone. You've got to contribute going forward as well. It's interesting because I think that Brendan Rodgers is a kind of manager that would like a squad that he could rotate different formations. I don't think he's, you look at...
Do you not feel like most teams now they just try and do their plan A as good as they can?
Yeah, but Brendan Rodgers, as you say, probably, even at Leicester, I think he was a 4-2-3-1 man, right? He's come up there, he's inherited that team of Postecoglou, and he knew that there's a lot of the wide areas there. So he's sort of kept the nucleus of it. I think he's just went with this season, added one or two. Awata's a very good player. I like him. I think, look, he's not reached his peak yet for me, but I think there's a lot of potential in there about him. See a lot of good things. It'll be interesting to see, because Celtic will have a turnaround in players as well. I don't know if O'Reilly's got to be so. I don't know if Hatate is leaving. People are on tonight, Kyogo, if we get rid of him, Ida comes in, we get in there. So I think you'll see the summer and it'll be plenty of movement from both Celtic and Rangers. But it'd be interesting to see what kind of player, because I do think Brendan Rodgers will tweak the style next year. I really do, because I think he's come in for a wee bit of criticism this season. I know that he's a strong manager and he believes going forward that's the way it should be. But I think Brendan Rodgers will tweak it, and I'll be interested to see what type of player he brings into the building.
So you've got high hopes then, Thomas. You think going forward Iwata can be a real main man. Does that include this season? I mean, Callum McGregor's coming back from this injury. He's kind of not really hitting his heights yet.
Iwata was out injured for a good while. I know he's not a player running it. Before he came to Celtic, he was playing in the year in Japan. Most of that season, Rio Tati was playing in midfield in Japan too. The guy's, he's no mug. I don't think that we've seen the best of the guy. And I think if he had somebody like Callum McGregor playing beside him, with a three in front of him, I think he could be a good player for Celtic. He's got the physique. He's got the technique. He's not a dirty player. He can win the ball clear. Doesn't give the ball away. Doesn't need two touches or three touches, like, or four touches like we're wingers. Do you know what I mean? He's so it's just because he's the manager. I don't think Brendan couldn't afford to change his style this year because he knew the fans would be in uproar. But he knew he was not going to get financed to buy the players to change it. So he had to have a year of transition, and that's how I think next year it'll go to 4-2-3-1.
I guess, Mark, it depends, though, you know, the strengths elsewhere and who do you sign there, and are they effective? You know, if you're taking attacking I know it's not as simple as this because you're expecting everyone to contribute, but if you're taking the attacking threat of one of those midfielders or scaling it back, you know, you really need to make sure the wingers are effective then, and make sure that you know, because if they're not, then maybe it's a good job that Hatate and O'Reilly operate in more advanced. Yeah.
You've got to make sure your number 10 is mobile enough to take up, you know, good spaces in the pitch. He's got to be able to go beyond the striker as well. Your fullbacks then become a whole lot different from inverted. You don't want your fullbacks inverted. Then you've got four players in the middle of the pitch when you take into your two holders. So your fullbacks then probably become more overlapping of your wingers again. Which, so that goes back to
and Greg Taylor's better at coming inverted rather than, you know, so
it's a whole lot to think about. As in, only Brendan Rodgers and John Kennedy will have the answers.
It's a good point, Thomas. A really good one. Thank you very much, Thomas and Sandy Hills on the line. It just reminds you, and I'm for once, I'm not saying it's good or bad, just watching this Chelsea Spurs, you forget how breathless Ange Postecoglou's teams are. That, by the way, they should have conceded early on. I'm not saying it's brilliant all the time.
They play such a high line, but the difference is they've got, you know, so much pace at the back that it's a remarkable recovery. But Palmer should touch it in, and they should be behind. But it's exciting to watch. He did say that when he came here, remember, one of his first press conferences, that I want to play football that gets people off their seats. And I'm thinking, oh, I've heard this all before. He's proved me wrong. Anyway, he's certainly true to his word, and especially with Spurs.
Okay, how are you faring on this teaser? We were looking for the last 9 players who've played for Rangers and also played in a Champions League semi-final. So like Reno Gattuso for AC Milan, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst for Barcelona, and Dado Perso for Monaco.
I'll go with Arteta. Lock it in.
No,
don't lock it in.
Oh, waste of time.
All right, okay.
That was a big one for us.
Terrible.
Boomsong.
Yes, for Lyon in 2010.
How'd you like that? Yeah,
that was great.
That's good, isn't it?
I was hoping I could read that off your paper, but you didn't.
No, I didn't. It just came to the top of my head.
I was
going
to steal that one.
No, Hutton wasn't at Spurs, was he? When he got
No.
There are a couple of the teams that you have mentioned are, you know, need to do more with them.
Okay. Okay.
That kind of era, that like 2005 era, 2005, 6, 7 is a great era for this question.
Pedro Mendes?
Yes, Porto 2005.
Beautiful.
Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers. Derek McInnes and Stuart Kettlewell have been speaking about everyone's favourite topic, VAR, today, off the back of the independent review panel's results yesterday. If you have any leftover thoughts, we can do them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's been quite a quick show tonight. We're on the final home stretch with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, and we're asking them the answer to this teaser. Please keep your calls coming in as well. But can you name the last 9 players who've played for Rangers and have played in a Champions League semi-final? You've got Boomsong, Gattuso, Van Bronckhorst, Perso and Mendes.
I can't remember his name. Played
good. Right, that'll be good.
Played
then.
With Ajax, didn't he?
Oh, Avalardzi.
Avalardzi.
No. Forget his name.
Diouf?
Nope.
Buffel? Or is it Buffel?
Nope. Thomas Buffel?
Nope. Thomas Buffel? Oh, jeez.
Good efforts. Listen, keep the chin up.
I mean,
don't beat yourself up.
I beat myself up.
Good. In what sense?
It's just that he contributed.
I think we're throwing out
trying.
I think we're throwing out some good names.
There's another member of there's a member of the Arsenal 2006 team that you've not got.
Senderos.
Yes, well done. I think he's been on the teaser twice this week. Now I've told you the last remaining 3 are all from 2005.
2005. So what was that? The Monaco? No,
that sort of
Monaco, yeah. Porto game.
Well, that was the final.
All right.
So,
oh, the semi finals,
Porto and two others.
The semi finals.
I was going to say Basel Bolly, but.
Anyway, let's hear.
Oh, you said Monaco.
Let's hear a bit from some managers today. We said it yesterday, the independent review panel, VAR, they take a look at decisions after every round of fixtures. We've done this a few times this season. Over the previous round of fixtures, they reckoned 10 mistakes had been made. They reckoned that the headline ones were that infamous day at Tynecastle. They reckon Celtic shouldn't have had a penalty. They reckon Hearts shouldn't have had a penalty. They stood by Yang's red card, though, felt that was fine. They don't think Dujon Sterling should have been sent off for Rangers against Aberdeen. They don't think John Lundstrom's handball against Kelly was a penalty. They concluded that over the piece, over the season, in terms of differential, St Mirren have been the hardest done all season long as well. Again, in their opinion, this stuff is still all subjective. So it's sparked some questions to managers today, and Stuart Kettlewell's been right in the midst of it this week. He was raging about Jack Vale's sending off against Aberdeen. Motherwell appealed it. They lost that appeal, and the Motherwell boss believes Scottish football would improve without VAR and claims he's needing to change the way he coaches in light of recent decisions.
Again, I go back to day one when VAR was being introduced. We're not changing how this game is played. We're not changing the approach of the game of football. Well, I'm arguing different on that. I'm going to have to, again, think about trying to coach my players in a different way. As a consequence of playing football, I myself held my hands up and said, I'm going to get kicked, I'm going to get hurt, there's going to be collisions out on that pitch. So we can't referee games based on somebody got hurt. I'm not so sure that from what the incidents we've seen and all the different things that we've seen, that there has been a dramatic change and improvement from within that. So you're asking me the question, am I for it? Now, as I sit here, I think we would all enjoy it a heck of a lot better without it.
Let's ask Peter on the line his thoughts. Peter?
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys. Gordon and Matt, absolutely love the show. Listen to it every night.
Thanks, Peter.
it's more to do with the VAR panel after a series of incidents that I'm phoning up about.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a suggestion. I just think that the yes or no to each incident that they evaluate, I just think that's very absolute, you know, yes or no. There's no middle ground. I'm going to propose that perhaps there could be a more reductionist approach, in the sense that there could be, looking at each incident, there could be definite, debatable, unlikely, and definitely no. Now, if you were measuring each situation for each team, each incident against each team, for example, and I will use I'm a Celtic supporter, I will use Tynecastle as an example. Say, for example, you're looking at the Kyogo penalty. I don't think that was a definite, i.e. that would score four. I think that was a debatable, and I'm not saying it wasn't a penalty. Personally, I think there was some contact on, I'm not sure, I think that was more a three or a four, a debatable rather than definite. If you look at the Yang sending off, again, anyone who's played football at any level will know in fast, not in slow motion, but in fast time, these things can happen and that there was no intent. That could be deemed as a three. And if you were using the scoring measuring situation that I'm proposing, the Hearts penalty, I feel, was a definite. The penalty given to Hearts against Celtic was a definite
mistake
because the Celtic player just had no idea where the ball was. It was just ridiculous, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, if you're going to have a panel, make it professional, make it a bit more reductionist. It doesn't have to be so absolute. You could add up all these scores at the end of the season and see where each team comes in. But, you know, the game, the football game in general, it's not a case of yes and no. It's a bit more complicated. As you constantly, Gordon, it's it's a very subjective in terms of how you measure each decision.
Yeah, so, I think that's a good point.
All I'm saying is, you know, if you're going to have a VAR panel, you know, maybe look at it in a bit more detail. How are you going to measure these situations? Because they're not all clear-cut, yes or no.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Mark, because the whole point of this panel is it was brought in so that the Scottish FA weren't marking their own homework. It was an independent panel made up of, you know, ex-pros and coaches and stuff like that. to take a look. But I think Peter's right, because it was well intentioned. It's just there to provide a fresh set of eyes. It's there to try and help with standards. It will always, by definition, still be subjective. But now what's happening in the reporting of it is it's like sort of become fact, if you like. Oh well, there you are. This team has been, they've been hardest hit this season. You know, they've had these mistakes. Yeah, according to the panel, which again, yeah, they're well placed, they're well versed, they're guided in the laws of the game. There have still been some decisions in the findings yesterday, and certainly in the previous round, that I don't agree with. And I thought, well, I don't care what the panel say there, because I see that differently.
Yeah.
So like I say, it was well intentioned, but it feels like we've just now added another layer of debate. And as Peter says, we've now decided it's like cast iron. Oh well, that was a mistake, or that decision was correct. So the panel stood by the Yang one yesterday. Every ex-player tells you they don't think that's a red. Referees say, yeah, but the laws of the game state it is. And we kind of go round in circles.
I do think it is now a bit pointless. When I seen it come out again, that was quite interesting at the start of the season. Thought, you know, apart from giving us talking points, you know, it highlighted where VAR, or with a lot of thought VAR was going wrong in a lot of decisions. But now I just think it's pointless. I think it's bringing up old arguments. It's water under the bridge. The decisions have been made. You can't do anything about it. And what are you getting for it? You know, you put it to the managers and they're concentrating on the four games going forward rather than what happened 10 or 15 games ago. So I don't see the point. And the biggest one I didn't see the point, and I heard you chatting about it last night, was the St Mirren, was it St Mirren one that went to a panel on appeal, it got upheld, yet this panel says it was a mistake. What does that tell anybody?
Well, apart from this last
so
night,
subjective.
That's what it shows. It has to be that
this
way.
This group thinks it wasn't, and this group thinks it was. Where's it get us? Nowhere.
I think, look, there obviously is a wider debate here. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to our game? Is VAR worth it? Is it worth the hassle? Is it
no.
You know, is it ruining the game? Because I actually feel like obsessing about perceived mistakes and how many is missing the point. Because let's be honest, we are obsessing about a tiny minority of decisions. Obviously they get most of the decisions right. You know, whether you believe the official stats, which say whatever, 98, even if it's 97, even if it's 96, even if it's as low as 94, we're getting the vast majority of decisions right. So I actually feel like that's not the point. You know, you need to decide, is it worth the hassle? Otherwise, we're spending so much time obsessing over the perceived mistakes.
Yeah, it's
we put too much time into it, basically.
Yeah, it's only a matter of opinion. Like every decision is a matter of opinion. We can sit here and talk about something that happens and threes can disagree. I looked at VAR when it came in at first and I thought, right, good thing, because it will get things right, the offsides, and it's fair in everyone. I just think it's ruined the game for not just players. I would hate to play in the modern day game with VAR now. I think it's ruined it for supporters as well. I think it's ruined it for managers. You're listening to the Motherwell manager talking about, well, I need to now look at you know, coaching my team in a different way because of VAR. VAR's no there for that. I just think that, having looked at it now over a season, would I encourage it for next year? If I got the vote, yes or no, I would be saying no, get rid of it. Because every player I've spoken to, Championship football, they love it because they're no VAR.
Thank you, Peter. Right, you've got three more former Rangers players who've played in the Champions League semi-final in the last nine. Boomsong, Gattuso, Senderos, Van Bronckhorst, Perso, Mendes. Pretty tough, the remaining ones. One would have been against you, your time, Mark, 2007 to 2010. He was at Rangers. He's American. He's a winger.
Beasley.
Yep, Beasley. Okay.
Yep. Never get that.
Marcus Beasley.
Now, the remaining two are both Monaco 2005.
They played with Monaco.
Yep. Charbonnet. No. Oh, no, Gil.
Nope.
You got Perso, didn't you?
Position, left back one.
Yeah, I think he was, aye. Yep. I think Elm is a winger. His name could mean like rubbish, not very good,
garbage,
sort of. Yet garbage. Rotten.
Rotten.
Oh, I never have got him. I.
And the last one, I'll need to put you out your misery. We're out of time.
Right,
Rodriguez.
Never.
Thanks
never
to
have
Gordon
got.
And Mark. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and Callum is up next.